Now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diamonds on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And a child was caught up to God and his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God night and day, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to the place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened his mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. The dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have made the testimony of Jesus Christ." Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, our text this morning is taken from really verse 16 to verse 18. Over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at the question, many questions of Christmas, we know, but we've been looking at the question of why Bethlehem? Why Bethlehem? And that's significant. And if you know some of the answers to why Bethlehem, you'll come to know of who Jesus Christ is. You'll come to know of why he's born. You'll come to know the things of salvation. And what we've said is very simply this. There was a reason why Bethlehem. It's found there in Luke chapter 2 and verse 4. Don't turn to it, because simply this. He was of the line and the lineage of David. We sing the hymn at this time. "Once in royal David city stood a lowly cattle shed." And the reason really why he was born there is because Jesus Christ is the one who is the king, and his kingship was to be everlasting. And if I asked you, do you know the answer to why Jesus was born in Bethlehem? The answer is not found in your head. The answer is found in your knee. When you come and you proclaim him as your Lord and as your King. And there was another reason he was born in Bethlehem, because it was of the least of the tribes of Judah. It was a great revelation that the God of this world is the God who takes the things which are naught to bring to nothing the things which are. And you would never have heard of Bethlehem unless it was for the fact that Jesus Christ was born there. And it was in that place. And for you to know of Bethlehem even today, there's a place, you know, every one of us has to go to. Every one of us has to come to. It's a place where we realize that we are nothing before him. And it's not to the great, not to the mighty, but so often to those which are insignificant, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. And then we've looked, just to go through it, that there was a reason for Bethlehem. It was because also now that very name Bethlehem means a house of bread, a house of bread. And there comes a place in our lives where we realize that there is no food that we can eat in this world, as much as we've eaten in the week to come and been. You know that there's not anything that will fill your hungry heart. Only Jesus Christ can fill you. He's the bread which has been given to us from heaven. And then you realize, why Bethlehem? Well, because there was a decree. A decree went out. And he is the one to whom all things lead. He is the one in whom all things come from. He is the one who is everything. But one more time this morning, why Bethlehem? And we need to know that, because there is a question of why Bethlehem? Because there are certain things which happened in that little town of Bethlehem which had taken place in the past, and the atrocities, you know, there are certain places in this land which you remember and which you know of because of what took place there. I'll give you an example. What comes to your mind when I say Hungerford? What comes to your mind when you think of Aberfan? There are certain things which happened in these places, and they're significant. And it's significant, you see, also because of this, that the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. It was a place where atrocities did take place, where disasters did happen, and it was embedded in the nation. It is not by chance. And so it is that when you come to these verses now, there is this which took place. And it's the question of why Bethlehem? Because the story is not only of the good news, but there's bad news. And you find it here in these verses. And Herod, when he saw that it was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all his districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled that was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. Why Bethlehem? On the 21st of December this year, you may have forgotten it, but a tragedy did take place. It took place in Prague, on the humanities building, in the university. A young man went in and he killed 15 students. 25 of them were injured. And then the question is, you know, why? Why did it happen? What society have we made? What brought these things on? Perhaps you may remember the 13th of March, 1996. Dunblane, an infant school. 16 children murdered and massacred just in primary school. And you ask the question, don't you? Why? Why did these things take place? And then you come then to Bethlehem, and is the slaughter of the atrocity of every child in the area, in that great district. They're all killed. And you say, why then Bethlehem? And you can't get away from the answer. The answer is simply this. Christ was born in Bethlehem. And it would have been no massacre unless Christ had been born there. There was a reason that this did take place. And I know it seems so strange today. I just want to answer the question. When you think and you read in the news and you see in your TV, and what happens is this, is that people ask, Christmas cancelled at Bethlehem this year. And you think, hang on, hang on. Has there not always been something like this in Bethlehem? And when that news came 2,000 years ago, the angels in the sky, glad tidings, great joy, peace to all men everywhere. The news which went out, God incarnate at Bethlehem. That somehow now people have got this in their head, that these things can't happen. The terrible atrocities, the war, the killing, these things can't take place. That's not the place. That's the place where the Christ child was born. It's not that place. But you're wrong, you see. It's in that very place that these things happened. And it is an utter atrocity. It's hard to get our minds upon it. If something like that happened today, I know that they were a culture. There was a time. There was no birth control. There were these people married. They had children. They brought up families. There would have been many children, many under the age of two. We only have a little baby group, which happens on a Wednesday for those newly born babies in the town. And they're little children from about, well, up to 3 months and perhaps possibly 6 months. There's a crowd of them. There's a crowd of them. I'm amazed of how many babies in this little town. Now you've got all these babies, here it is as you read it. And they were in Bethlehem, in all the districts, from 2 years old and under. And these babies would have been snatched from their mother's arms, snatched from their mother's breast, taken with a sword, slayed in front of them, blood in the house. There would have been silence. And you say, why Bethlehem? You say, it's because of this. It's because Christ was born in Bethlehem. And Herod knew that. And he knew that there was one who claimed his throne. I just want to put that to you this morning, because there will be those of you, and there are those in our society. People come to a place of worship. They claim to have had faith. They claim to have been Christians, and they've accepted the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they don't come, and they no more, and they deny the faith, and they say it's not true. And you say, well, why isn't it true? And they say, because this happened to me, and it happened to my family, and it's happened to my life. Sin's come into my home. It's wrecked my family, wrecked my home. And you think to yourself, and you say, hang on now. Doesn't the Bible then teach us something here? The real Christmas, that if you know something of Jesus Christ, it's going to be one with suffering, and you're not excluded in any shape or any form. And someone will say, I don't believe the Christian faith, because it said there is peace and goodwill to all men. That's true. But look, just in a few years after, a slaughter takes place at Bethlehem. It is true, but that doesn't deny for one moment the tragedies and the war, the killing, the senseless acts which happen in this world. And you've got to ask the question, why Bethlehem? I'm going to give you three reasons why. Three reasons why. The first is simply this. In the story that we have here in verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, that he was living at that time and does live even today, people who are utterly sick, evil, wicked, megalomaniacs, people who just have no problem with killing. There are wicked despots which are in governments and which lead and are part of the fabric of this world. And Herod was one of them. Actually, let me say to you, Herod was a champion of them. Of all the people we know in ancient history, we know more about this man than any other figure. Such was his life, which was filled with all kinds. He was a mass murderer. He was a serial killer. He was a family killer, whatever you have for that. Parents' side, he did that. And killing your children, he did that. It was said by Augustus of this man that you'd rather be Herod's hog than Herod's son. He had 10 wives. He killed his favorite wife, killed then his mother, killed his firstborn son, killed another two of his children. And then when he had his funeral, he had planned that everybody who came to his funeral would be assassinated. So there would be some grief that day. What a man to meet. And I assure you now that when you read this account of what took place, that Herod, he then gives the order. He could sleep at night. It never bothered his conscience. The killing and the slaughter. These people live. People like Putin, people like Hamas can go and kill and little children. They do these things and they live in this world. And that's the world that we live in. It's a world, you see, where evil does exist. And as we read in that story, don't ever be surprised of what can happen in a society and with people. And not only that, there was a reason why he took it out on these two-year-old children. It was because, as you read in the story in chapter 2, that there it is in verse 1, that in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and come to worship him. And Herod the king heard this. He was troubled with all Jerusalem with him. The news had come. Now Herod was not the rightful king of the Jews. He was an Edomite. He was someone who was just sitting there, but he was ruling with all his vile and viciousness. But when he heard the news that there had been one who was born now king of the Jews, he was troubled, sent the wise men away, and then when they didn't return, in his calculations, thinking how far they had travelled when they had seen the star in the east and working out how long they had been, decides then to kill all the male-born children under two in the area. Now the Bible tells us, you say, it doesn't make sense. It makes perfect sense. This Bible tells us, the story of it is this, that there is one who will be born of the woman, who will be against the seed of the serpent. And in this world, there is an awful evil which is opposed to the things of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is that antagonism. Wherever Jesus Christ is found, wherever Jesus Christ's rule and claim is made, I assure you, there's opposition. And so it was on that very day, as we read there in Revelation chapter 12, that on that very day there was one waiting for that child, even when he was born, from the very first to destroy him. We're living in such a nation today, or it may not be with the vileness as that, but they're against every Lord of Christ to remove it from our society. They're against every claim of Christ to remove it. And in this world, these things are in conflict. And so it is, there's a reason of why it is that there is such evil in the world. And if you don't believe that there is evil in the world, that when that wonderful news of Jesus Christ came, that news of the love and the forgiveness and the peace and the joy, all that came, and it'll come into your life too. It'll come into your home when you receive him and reject and understand him. But I know this, that when you do, all hell breaks loose. Wherever the claims of Christ rises in any home, if anyone who is a young Christian here today, it's really a difficult place to be. I'm not an expert, but the life of the unborn and in the womb is not valued at all. You want to kill a child, kill it before it's born. But actually, there's a law, and don't think it's far-fetched, that when that child now is just born, there's a right to take that life of that child. And you think to yourself, when that child has no voice, has no strength, in all its weakness, that's when the evil comes. And when a person's just a young Christian, before you can grow and put on your armor, before you can make any stand, he's there, he wants to attack, he wants to take. And it happens in any work of God that enters into any kind of town, and the things of Christ come in. At that moment, before it could take any root, I can tell you there's trouble and there's difficulty. And what takes place is this, is that you come to know there is that which is evil in this world. And it operates. It operates through people of power, the governments and principalities and rulers. That's the reason of why there was a Bethlehem. But then there's a second reason, and it's found here. And there it is in verse 18, perhaps. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. And something else now about this place of Bethlehem. Now in the Bible, there is such a thing as the law of first mention. And actually, when you think about it, of all the places that Jesus was to be born, there's one which is no better than Bethlehem. Of the line and the lineage of David. Of the house of bread. But the place of great suffering. Let me just point it out to you. That what happened, you see, of Jesus Christ coming into the world. There's something about this place, Bethlehem, that they knew of. Now you find it first of all in Genesis chapter 35. And in verse 16 and 17. It's in the history of the people. Jacob, who's the father of the nation, had two wives. Rachel was his loved one. Rachel is the one he loved. And then as they were journeying to go to Ephrah, she is in labor, and this labor is going to take her life. We know, as it reads here, in verse 17, the midwife said to her, "Fear not, for you will have this son also." And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. And then verse 20, "And Jacob set a pillar on her grave," which is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. And there, verse 19, "was buried on the way to Ephrah," which is Bethlehem. You go to Bethlehem, and there was a tomb, and the gravestone's there. even as Jacob said, to that day. It wasn't much in the town, but the grave of Rachel was there. And that grave of Rachel, it meant something to Jacob. Does your life pass before you when you die? Do you know, it did for Jacob. You can recall that Jacob is on his bed and he remembers the very day of sorrow when his beloved wife was taken from him. She named him son of my sorrows. And then you see Jacob says, but I named you Benjamin. That was a place that was edged in his mind. Let me tell you something else about Bethlehem. It's a prophecy which we read here in verse 17. Then was fulfilled what was written by Jeremiah the prophet saying. And that's found in Jeremiah chapter 31. And in verse 15, it's really interesting. Because what took place in the history of these people was they were nations that came to them. The Syrians came to them. The Babylonians came to them. And then when they were deported from their land, the gathering and the deportation took place at Ramah, at Bethlehem. The nations were gathered. They were there. And then it was like this, says Jeremiah, as Rachel from her grave for her children, crying and lamenting as the men and the women and the children were taken out from the land. It was a place of great sorrow. It's a place of great suffering. Then you find it that which took place all those years ago was the place also. Now what the prophet was speaking of is fulfilled. And this great weeping of those for their children has been fulfilled. I'm just pointing out to you that it's a place which is significant. Now, over the last number of weeks, we've had a number of deaths in the area, and from one village especially. And you know, when there's been a number of deaths in a certain village, people begin to talk. They do. It's a conversation. What's happened here? What's happened there? And so it is when this took place, it's a conversation. That these things which happen at certain places in one's land, it is a national event. All the children have been slaughtered. I'm saying to you the second reason of why there's a Bethlehem, because there is suffering in this world. And Jesus Christ came, and I don't know of those who have lost loved ones, and to make sense of it all, what the mothers would be speaking of, their children taken from them. What I do know is this. For the Lord Jesus Christ, who escaped, for one life, many children died. There came a point in his death, many people live. Now, I don't have the answers for suffering. I don't have the answers of God's decree, how these things would be. He spoke it. He said it. He foretold it. What one does know is this. As you read in that verse, in verse then, let's have a look. In verse 13, flee to Egypt, stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy it. That was what was taking place. Jesus Christ was not destroyed at Bethlehem. But you do read this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. This fellow casts out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. And what you read in that account is this: and they sought to destroy him. Jesus Christ came into this world. All our griefs, all our sorrows, he's the one who has borne them all. And whatever that tragedy was in Bethlehem, it was because Christ himself had to suffer. And as those children, as he says, were destroyed, Mary knew the pain of that years after, not with a sword, but with a cross, on that bloody tree where Jesus Christ in agony, as he was put to death and as he was destroyed, it was the place for him to be born. It was the place of suffering. Now there's a third reason, and it's this. Believe it or not, this day, it's because of God's sovereign purpose and will. I'll read it for you. When the children had been killed, then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah. And what took place is this. The God of this world is the God who is all-powerful. Don't ever think for one moment that God cannot stop, overrule, deal with situations. He can deal with it all. There's so much in his armory that could have put an end to Herod. There was so much he could have done to have stopped the slaughter. But God is a God who sees the end from the beginning. Look, God is a God of immense pity and compassion. God is the God who is of great love, who would send his Son into this world. But you need to know this, that God sees it all, knows it all, the evil of men's heart, the opposition to Christ and to his kingdom, the pain of living in this world. But you need to know the good news, because it's actually good news. The good news of Matthew's gospel, that the prophecy which Jeremiah spoke has been fulfilled in your ears. Let me try and give you an illustration. Many years ago, I don't know, do they have a maternity ward now in Withybush? I'm not sure. Can someone tell me? They don't. Do you know what that means? No maternity ward in Withybush. No king can ever be born in Pembrokeshire again. There was one born in that castle. You know of him, Henry Tudor. But there was a claim to the throne. He fled to France. And it wasn't then for many years until he came back that he made then his charge from Dale up then to Bosworth and then to the throne. But in the years of these people, the king had fled, the king had escaped. Now is fulfilled that which is spoken to you, that the Christ has come. But look, there was one who fled into Egypt, who did escape, who wasn't killed, that he may bring the promises of God. Now you need to read this, because that which was fulfilled in Jeremiah the prophet, it's a great chapter. Actually, it's one of the best chapters in the Old Testament. Shall I read you from that chapter just some of these words? Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn you. Again I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. Look at this verse, verse 15, Jeremiah chapter 1. Thus says the Lord, the voice of Ramah. Thus says the Lord, refrain from your voice, from weeping, and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded. Here's the prophecy. It's been fulfilled. The mourning, the weeping, the killing. Now you need to know that in Jesus Christ and in him, it's all fulfilled. There's coming a day where every tear will be wiped away. There's coming a day where there will be no more crying and no more tears because of Jesus Christ, who's come into this world this day, and all the pain, all the suffering, one day you will not cry. Jeremiah 31, the day will come, I'll make a new covenant. It's been fulfilled. A covenant with his people. And here it is. I'll remember your sins no more. That's the sovereign work of God. It's the reason for Bethlehem. You've got to ask the question. You do ask the question, don't you? Why? Because there is evil. There is suffering. And the only gospel in the world that's got the answer to suffering is that of Jesus Christ, who's come into this world, and the God who has made it, who has suffered in every way that we have. And he did it for his sovereign purposes, that there could come a day where you could know there's a day going to come with no more crying and no more weeping. I want you to go from this place this morning. I want you to go from with a real deeper understanding. There are many people who have begun the Christian life. They've heard the tales, they've heard the stories. And because it's not worked out as they wanted it to work out, thrown their toys out of the pram, no, literally, that somehow that they were fed, you know, a false gospel. Not feeding you a false gospel. It's the real one. And it touches this earth in every single way. And he's come to us. You know the answer then, don't you? The answer of why Bethlehem.